The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Welcome to this second talk on grief, a topic and a state of being that can be very difficult and also can be very deeply connected to our love and the depths of who we are and what we think is important in this life. So it's a very important topic to be able to learn how to be present for and recognize and get under the surface of, to see more clearly. And grief is not an enemy, or grief is not a illness or a problem. Grief is a part and parcel of a human life. And becoming wise about it and knowing how to be with grief is one of the great benefits of mindfulness practice. So I'm defining grief as the pain the pain arising in the emptiness born from loss. The pain that arises in the emptiness born from loss. And this definition, I'm hoping, will span all the different ways in which griefs are experienced, because there's an infinite number of ways that grief is. Sometimes it's more emotional, sometimes it's more physical, sometimes it's more relational in nature, and there's all kinds of different cultures grieve in different ways. Different cultures experience the pain of loss in different ways. But because it involves a loss, that loss means there's now an emptiness, an absence of something. And that absence, that emptiness, can be huge. Some people feel it's so huge that it, you know, nothing will ever fill it again, and we'll always be in this great vacuum or great place of meaningless or loneliness or loss. But the bigger that emptiness is, the bigger that absence is, that actually the more it gets filled, and it gets filled with many, many things. And part of mindfulness practice is to begin to enter into this world of this emptiness, to be able to see clearly what is it that fills the emptiness that we're in. What is it that characterizes this pain, this discomfort that comes with loss? And so rather than taking it as being a singular thing, my grief, we can put a little question mark after it. What is this? Maybe we don't really know the grief. So what is this grief? And to sit with it, to be with it, not so much to investigate it, think about it, but rather to enter into grief as if it's a temple, a sacred spot or place where we enter into quietly, peacefully, non-assertively, without our needs, without our demands and our wants, but to really be present in the middle of this emptiness, to make space and room for what's there. And then to see all the different elements of it. And one of the key things to think about, or that I think I find helpful, is to not give a lot of preferential treatment to the world of thinking, to thoughts and stories and memories and meanings that we assign to the situation, but rather to be entering into this emptiness and start seeing, oh, there is stories, there are meanings, there are thoughts, ideas, associations there. Those are there a part of the big picture, including the emotions and the feelings. And to begin seeing, making space for all the component parts. Grief is a composite of many different pieces and parts. Some of them are very personal. Some of them are cultural. Some of them come from our life experience. Some of them come from our hopes and aspirations that we have that have been, maybe been, the rug has been pulled away from them. And so to begin to see the different, enter into this carefully and make space and quietude to really recognize, oh, this is what's happening. Make space for it. And to become quiet. The thinking mind can become quiet in the relationship to grief. And this is not easy, but it's probably one of the most respectful things to do, to really make room for the natural or inner process that our body has for being with grief and allowing grief its space and its time. So to be able to kind of begin understanding the component parts of grief, I want to talk a little bit about what these might be. And one of them is to appreciate the kind of grief it is, or the source of the grief. So some grief is very relational in nature. It has to do with a relationship that has been severed and lost, like there's been a death, death of a parent or a child or a spouse, a sibling or a friend. And that relationship was so important. And so there's a lot about that relationship that comes into play with the grief. There might be a divorce, and a lot about that relationship comes into play with the grief. And that relationship is what is the emptiness, is the loss of the loss that has created the absence. And so to understand that quality of the relatedness that's no longer there, or is lost, or is other kinds of grief are more functional. That isn't so much a relationship with another person, but we're losing our abilities. So there's a grief about aging when we get many of our abilities become less and less. And there's a grief from an accident that some abilities we have, functions we have, no longer work, and we've lost. Maybe been paralyzed by something, and we'll never be able to do things we did before because our body doesn't function the same way. And so the loss of functioning of abilities that we've had. There's the loss of roles that sometimes people retire. They've lost the role that was so important for who they were. Children leave home and the role of being a parent is no longer there. And that's the grief, is not being able to care or take care of someone or have breakfast ready for someone. Someone dies, and part of the grief is not the loss of the relationship, or is the loss of the relationship, but another part of it is now we can't have that role of the caregiver, of the lover, or the friend of someone, which was so valuable for us, such an important part of our identity, who we were. And then there's more clearly the identity itself, that being some person is, you can't be that person anymore when this kind of loss has gone away, and not the way that you experienced it before. So the loss of identity, loss of who you thought you were and who you thought you were going to become, that spouse dies and you expected that you'd be in retirement together or traveling around the world or playing bridge or doing something with your... Now the spouse is gone and the anticipated futures are no longer there. Some people are grieving lost futures, lost anticipated ideas of what was going to come, but also lost identities of who we were going to be. We lose material goods. We might lose all our money in a stock market crash. And our identity as someone who is financially stable or secure or even wealthy is gone. Or our identity as someone who can do certain things that requires money goes away. And so it's a loss of grieving the identity, grieving loss. And then there's loss of material goods. All kinds of, losing of wealth, like I said, money, but losing a valuable piece of property that we have, or losing our financial security, or losing our home, that we've had for many times of divorce, and we lose something that was so important for us. So these are all different kinds of losses that come into play when people can experience grief around these things. And some of these griefs are very personal in nature, and some of them are more social and interpersonal in nature. There's a personal and interpersonal quality to it. Some of them, so for example, the personal is in an individualistic culture like maybe the United States, many people are not living in a rich, dynamic, social sphere of family or clan or tribe or different things. And so there's a loss. Maybe a couple has been living together alone. They're old, and maybe, you know, there's no one who's taking care of them particularly. And so one person dies, and it isn't that now they're part of a rich network of family and a clan, tribe. And so the grief is very individualistic, very alone. And so grief can be very lonely. Other people who might be living in a extended family in a compound or a town or a village or a tribe, and the elder of the tribe dies, the grief is very social. It's collective. It's something that everyone shares, and the social dynamic of the village has changed with this death, and people, the whole social world begins shifting and changing. And so grief takes a very different form than when it's not so lonely. It's collective. When it's collective, it's more cultural, and there's cultural aspects that come into play with how we grieve. And so, grief is a composite. It's made up of many different things. Grief is not a singular thing, though each powerful grief that we experience might seem like this is the end of the world. This is it. That, you know, this is the thing, you know, that is so huge, and how could anything ever be the same again. But to enter into the world of our grief, maybe in meditation, and let the mind become quiet. This is one of the gifts or the approaches of the meditation world life, and that is to enter into what's difficult, be present for it, but don't let thinking get the upper hand. But to feel and sense and begin allowing the pieces of it to show itself and to be recognized and to be known. Some very different things can happen with grief when we're not churning and thinking and spinning and living in the thoughts and the ideas and the histories and the memories and the ideas, but to become quiet. Quieting the stories. The stories are important, but there's another way. So in these few words I have in this 15 minutes, I hope that this has given you something to consider, that in the emptiness of grief, we fill it with many, many things, and to sit quietly in the middle of it so all the different component parts can be recognized, and that which is extra, those pieces of the component parts of grief which are not needed, can quiet and settle. And some of that has to do with the stories we tell ourselves and the meanings we assign to grief. And that'll be the topic for tomorrow. So thank you, and care for yourself well, and think of mindfulness of however you are, and as mindfulness as a powerful way of protecting yourself, caring for yourself, loving yourself, by not asserting your desires and needs on top of yourself, but rather to listen deeply, to respect here. So, thank you.